dog. "It's so lovely," Andy whispered. Her voice echoed and rippled like a droplet falling into water, and she laughed as she downed the rest of her mug. She thought she could feel the ground breathe beneath her feet, hear the distant towering trees laugh with happiness, feel the spiral rock mounds sigh from high above the desert sand. The world was alive. "Come on," Valin said. He faded into the crowd of dancers twirling in time, and as they moved, Andy had to question if her feet were even touching the ground anymore. She felt weightless, like a starship made of glass.
Chapter 57 Dex sat on the edges of the crowd, watching the dancers and enjoying the feel of two mugs of Jurum thrumming through his bloodstream. This was the type of place he lived for, dancing women so beautiful and full of life that he should have been desperate to join the crowd. He'd been asked several times to dance, once even by a woman who'd even offered to buy him a mug of Jurum as she approached him on the edge of the crowd. She could have been the woman of his dreams, but tonight, Dex didn't care. In truth, all he cared about was catching a glimpse of Andy in the crowd. Andy, with her stab-you-in-the-balls-and-laugh-at-you-as-you-scream eyes. Andy who flung insults as sharp as her electric swords. Andy who'd stolen his heart and later his ship. Andy whom he'd betrayed. Andy, Andy, Andy. Her name echoed through his mind like a flock of adherent siren birds. "Crap," Dex muttered. Something was truly wrong with him. Maybe he'd fallen ill. Maybe Alfie had given him too strong of a painkiller when the AI had patched him up on the ship a few days before. Or maybe, an obnoxious voice in the back of Dex's mind whispered, "Being back here, on the planet where you once had the luxury of being Andromas, is screwing with your brain." Dex shook his head. He'd been on land for far too long. Once he was back on board his ship, locked in close quarters with Androma Rosella, he'd come to his senses again and realize she had absolutely no interest in a future with him. He had hoped that telling her the truth about what had happened years ago would help mend the break between them, that they could start over. Maybe they'd never again share the intimacy they once had, but perhaps they could have become friends. But since their conversation, Andy had done her best to avoid him. He hadn't pushed her. He knew she needed time to process the truth. And perhaps she'd never forgive him. Perhaps true forgiveness, a resurrection of their past, would never come. Dex shook his head and turned his attention to his third mug of Jurum for the first time since he'd bought it. He'd been too busy with his stupid, traitorous thoughts to pay attention to what was really important to him. Getting star-blindingly drunk. Right as he lifted it to his lips, the liquid having long since stopped bubbling, his gaze drifted to the dance floor that was slowly expanding into a circle. Dancers swayed left and right, clapping and stomping their feet to the steadily growing beat. As they twirled and parted into halves, Dex caught a flash of white and purple hair. A woman with her arms raised to the sky, her hips swaying like they were rocking in time with a hidden current. His heart eased a bit at knowing where Andy was, as if that mattered. He didn't care. He knew he didn't care, and yet his mind, which he was absolutely certain was malfunctioning now, was tricking him into thinking that he did. "Idiot," Dex murmured into his mug before downing the contents in a single chug. He knew he'd regret it tomorrow when he woke up. Androma. Her name whispered into his mind, past the Jurum, past the wall he'd tried to build up. He saw for the first time that she was the main spectacle the circle had been formed for. This Andy was so unlike the one he knew. She glided across the sand as if it were a polished dance floor. She spun in circles and twirled through the air, landing lightly as a feather. Her arms and legs performed dances of their own, flowing with the wind that fluttered through the desert. She was sound and wind and movement. The elements that made up the world were hers to command, and in this moment he could only see her. The rest was background noise. Dex watched as she swayed forward and grabbed a hand in the crowd, bringing the observer into her dancing spell. Though his mind felt stuffed with cotton, Dex could still register the annoyance he felt upon seeing that the person was Valin. The pretty little package all tied up like a bow, ready to be delivered to General Cortis. Valin seemed cast in a shroud of undulating shadows as she danced around him. He stood there in a trance of his own, eyes glazed over, body barely rocking to the music. The crew joined them, Breck and Gilly and Lyra laughing as they danced around Andy. She laughed with them. The sound of it made Dex's blood sing, but the laugh hadn't been for him, and at the thought of that, fury raced through him, shocking him like a spark of fire. Damn it all to hell and back. Even with his head muddled by Jurum, Dex couldn't blame the intoxicating brew for what he knew he was about to do. Tonight, he was going to be an idiot. He would deal with the repercussions tomorrow. He moved forward on instinct, breaking through the crowd, their cheers roaring against him. Andy. His voice was a low, purring whisper, smooth as the Jurum running through his veins. She wasn't his, never truly had been, and never would be. That was what undid him. She didn't see him approach at first, but when she spun around, she stopped, gaze transfixed on him. Valin's eyes widened, and he took a step back, then another, until he faded away into the crowd. "Dex," Andy said. At first, Dex thought she was going to punch him for interrupting her show. He braced himself for the impact, readied himself for a fight, despite the warmth running through him, the ground undulating beneath his feet like rocking waves. But instead of curling her fists, Andy did the complete opposite. She ran to him, leaping the last few steps into his waiting arms. "Dance with me," she whispered, her breath tickling his lips. Her words were full of such passion Dex almost fell. Her lips were so close as she pressed her body against his. "Andy," Dex breathed her name like a sigh, "we shouldn't do this." And yet as he held her in his arms, pressing her tightly to his chest, he didn't want to let go. There wasn't any space between them, and he reveled in their closeness, in the familiarity of it, the strong sense of balance between the two of them that had always made them so great. "We should," she said. So long he'd wanted this without even knowing. His mind screamed at him to stop, that she wasn't thinking straight, but his body hungered for more. She was looking at him like she used to long ago. Her fingers were digging into his back. The world around them fell away. The past disappeared, swept away in an instant. Just before their lips touched, the desert exploded in a blast of fire and light.
Chapter 58. Androma. Screams, wrought with terror, rang out across the sands of Baylet. Time seemed to snap back together, a band of rubber popping into place. Bodies began dropping around her, people fleeing from the crowd as masked figures appeared, rifles firing. They bore a strange symbol painted on their weapons, their red helmets and battered armor. Something Andy had seen before. Something she knew she should know, but there was a thickness still blocking her mind like water drowning her brain. Someone screamed and fell to the ground beside her. It was a young Adhiran man with eyes as blue as the endless sea. A scaled patch shimmered weakly on his cheek as he gasped, pressing his hands to his chest. "Lon?" Andy heard her second say. Lyra fell on top of her brother, shouting his name, begging him to stay with her, pressing her hands against his chest. Dex yanked Andy to the sand, covering her body with his as the crowd erupted into ear-shattering screams. It was enough to clear Andy's head, rip the veil away as she looked up, suddenly remembering the origin of the symbol on the rifles. After 15 years of peace, the Zentarans had come to take their revenge.
Chapter 59. Valin. Valin dropped to the ground and crawled blindly, feeling as if the world had sprouted claws and the sand around him had begun to turn into stone. He had to get back to Arcadius. He couldn't go back to Lunamere. The festival began to fade from his sight. An image of cell doors took its place, stained with the black burn marks of electric whips. The sky disappeared, replaced by the image of a cold, unbreakable stone ceiling. Every gunshot was like a whip lashing down on Valen's back. There were 1,000 feet running past him, flashes of bodies sprinting past, tangled up in explosive screams as bullets ricocheted through the crowd. He couldn't see the marauders. He couldn't see Dex. A soldier sprinted up to him, clad in armor, the Zen Terran crest splayed on his chest. The soldier lifted his rifle. Time slowed. Valen saw the soldier's gloved fingertip stretching toward the trigger, and in Valen's mind, he saw it all as if he were lying on cold, frozen stones, darkness closing in around him like a dense fog, the flash of a blue whip about to rip into his skin. Valen lifted his head, forced his lips to stop quivering as he looked to where he thought the man's eyes were, beyond his mask, as his finger reached the trigger.
"No!" Valen shouted. "No! Not me!"
He closed his eyes and waited for the shot. But instead, a body brushed past his. Valen opened his eyes, and the soldier was gone. "You have to move, Valen," his mind begged him. He crawled forward in the sand, closing his eyes when his hands felt the sticky wetness of blood, ignoring the press of his skin against someone else's, clammier and colder than it should have been. He begged himself to stay focused, to stay present, but the world was spinning, a planet cast free from its axis, and he couldn't keep himself in control. He found a booth empty of its keeper, a severed tentacle arm splayed on the dirt floor, a smear of blood pooled across the suction cups. Beside it, a golden droid lay motionless, torso blasted open and silver liquid oozing out. Valen was about to crawl inside and hide himself in the darkness when a scream rang out with his name.
"Valen!"
He turned to see her. Androma Rosella, cutting through the chaos like the sharp edge of a knife, her blade swinging as they took down soldiers. Her crew followed behind her, Dex's white constellation tattoos seeming to squirm across his skin as he ran, Breck hoisting an adherent man over her shoulder. The pilot, Lyra, screamed and sobbed as she followed, her skin illuminated by bright purple scales, smoking in the night. In front of them, the smallest crew member held a stolen rifle in her arms. One shot. The blast of a light bullet soaring from the chamber. A Zen Terran dropped in front of them, and Gilly leaped over his fallen form, dropped to a knee and aimed again. Another shot. A second bullet set free, a whistle that soared just past Valen's head. Behind him, a body dropped. All Valen could hear was the hiss and crackle of Andy's blades. With each soldier who fell in their way as Andy came to get him, Valen winced.
"I am Valen," he whispered. "I am Valen. I am Valen."
Again, he saw the world flash from bleeding stone walls to the terrorized adherent desert and back. He shut his eyes and rocked back and forth, back and forth, until a hand gripped his shoulder, trying to shake him from his trance.
"Valen!"
Andy's voice, but behind that the sound of explosions, gunshots, more screams, her crackling swords like Lunamere whips that wanted a taste of his burned skin. Hands ripped him from the ground, forced him to his feet. He opened his eyes to see Andy staring at him, blood splatters staining her face, her hair. Her mouth was moving, but he couldn't make out her words. Instead, it was the pounding of his heart, the echo of his labored breathing, that he heard. Andy smacked him across the head. Sound flooded into his ears.
"We have to run!"
A fleet of ships was closing in overhead. Each ship was like a living corpse, born from the ashes of Zen Terra's past, visible by the light of the moon and the raging fires. Some of them were mostly old scattered parts of ancient warships. Burn marks and dents and patched-up holes littered the black metal. But on the side of each one, a single golden symbol stared at Valin like a watching eye. The Solis family crest, a sharp, dagger-like triangle. They accompanied the face, smiling at Valin from his mind. A queen of death and darkness, seated upon a throne of the galaxy's bones.
Chapter 60 Androma. The ground trembled, sand sprayed as the fleet landed at the desert's edge. Steam billowed in clouds as the loading ramps opened and uniformed figures poured out like bugs. Dex growled. Reinforcements.
"What the hell is this?" Breck shouted. "Does it matter?" Andy yelped. "We're in the middle of a war zone!"
On the sand beside them, Lon's bare chest was a mess of blood.
"We have to get him to the medics!"
Lyra cried, sobbing as she ripped off the bottom of her gown, pressing the fabric against her brother's chest. He was unconscious, looking near dead already.
"You have to get your emotions under control," Breck said. "Lyra, you have to, or we'll lose you. Lon needs you to stay with us."
Lyra pressed her scales to his wound, trying to cauterize it, but each time she tried, the light winked out, as if she couldn't control herself when she needed to the most.
"Gilly, left!" Andy commanded.
The girl swung to the left and shot off another round. Light spiraled from the barrel. A nearby soldier screamed as he was blasted off his feet, crashing into the stand that held the Unified System's flags. Gilly dropped the empty rifle and scooped up another one from a fallen soldier, this one with two barrels.
"Where to, Cap? The Marauder's not ready to fly." "Hide in Rymor," Breck suggested.
She leaped to her feet as another soldier appeared and shot. The bullets pinged off her skin. Gilly shot back. The soldier fell, paralyzed by a stunner.
"Not going to work," Gilly said.
She racked the gun twice, switching to the upper barrel.
"We just lost our ride!"
In the distance, Andy could see the Albatusk's carriages in flames. Breck cursed.
"If someone doesn't come up with a plan soon, Lon will die, and then we'll all go down right after he does."
Lyra began to sob then. The girls were falling apart before Andy's eyes. She took it all in, her heart racing in her throat. Her mind screaming that this was her fault for drawing the Zentarans here. She glanced to Valin as he knelt in the sand nearby, his eyes closed, his hands clamped to his ears as if he could block out the chaos. Had the Zentarans tracked him somehow?
"We're not going to Rymor," Dex said suddenly.
Breck spun around to block a spray of bullets. She groaned, sinking to a knee, breathless. Bullets couldn't pierce her skin, but ammo this large packed a nasty punch. Soon she'd tire out.
"We're not going to Rymor," Dex said again, eyeing the group around him. "We won't make it far enough before they catch us. They must be here for Valin. They want him back. They won't leave until they have him."
"We won't let them take him," Andy said.
"No." Dex peered past her shoulder to the distant edge of the desert. "No one is taking him back to Lunamare, because I'm going to fly us out of here right now and finish this mission before it kills us all."
"That's a good plan," Andy said, "but where the hell are we supposed to find a ship right now?"
"You're space pirates," Dex said. "I'm sure you can take your pick."
Grinning, he pointed into the distance, where the fleet of Zentarran starships sat ready and waiting.
"And your plan to get there?" Breck asked breathlessly.
They fell silent as a group of soldiers marched by, their masks and red armor like beacons in the smoke. Flames crackled and licked up the wood just two stalls away, the heat sparking a memory in Andy's mind.
"Remember the job on Sora?" Andy asked.
She looked to Breck and Gilly, whose eyes lit up as Andy's plan suddenly became clear to them.
"Find soldiers close in size to each of us. Kill them clean and quick. We need their bodies."
"What the hell for?" Dex yelped.
A grim smile spread across Andy's features. "For once in your life, Dex, just do what I say." He nodded.
"Hurry," Andy said.
The three of them faded into the smoke, leaving Andy behind to protect Lon and Lyra. As a soldier appeared out of the smoke, the bloody Baroness hefted her blades and swung, thinking of another tally soon to be added to them.
Chapter 61 Dex. The Zen-Terran mask stunk like rotting blood. With each step Dex took, the stolen boots crushed his toes together and the dead soldier's armor rubbed in all the wrong places. Dex's Tenebran blood boiled. The man who'd worn this suit before him had murdered innocents. He'd approached Revalia as if it were a war zone, shooting at anyone that moved, man, woman, child. "Hurry," Dex said as he helped haul a shocked Valen across the sand. In front of them, Andy took point, her pace steady, not too fast, not too slow. Her Zen-Terran armor was too loose, but she looked the part nonetheless. Other soldiers sprinted past them, and Dex's heart leaped into his throat. "They'll know," he thought. "They'll see right through our stolen masks." In his mind, he saw a lifetime behind bars, stuck in that horrible darkness they'd just freed Valen from. He readied himself for a fight, body like a coiled spring about to come loose. But the soldiers only ran past, clicking freshly loaded clips into their rifles as they disappeared into the smoke beyond. He hoped they, too, burned with the bodies he and the marauders had left behind. It took everything Andy had not to swing her swords at the soldiers as they ran past, but she held herself in check, continuing up the hillside as they got closer and closer to the desert's edge. The line of ships was half a mile ahead, ramps still lowered, dark interiors waiting to swallow them whole. Each step, each breath, they made it closer.
"Which one?" Andy asked.
Beside her, Breck had Lon held over her shoulder, his body limp as if he were already dead.
"Lyra, you have to tell us which one."
She couldn't see her pilot's face behind the Zen-Terran mask, but she guessed it was blank as Lyra ran, robotic and silent. Andy looked to Dex instead. He knew starships better than she did, could look at them as if he saw their insides turned out.
"Which one?"
"There, middle of the fleet. It's the smallest, so it'll be harder to track."
The ship of choice was outdated. The wings were dented. The hull looked to be made of several different models. And yet, it had made it here in one piece, all the way from Zen-Terra. And unless this attack was planned as a one-way trip, she guessed the ship had enough fuel inside for a flight back to the Olin system. Andy swallowed, glancing back only once at the distant destruction. Soldiers were gathering together, knocking over the remains of booths. They had droids lined up on the sand for questioning, people huddled together on the ground nearby, some screaming and begging for mercy. Others looked stoically out at the desert, as if resigned to the same shock that was swarming through Lyra and Valen now.
"We can't leave them here to die," Andy said.
Adhira had taken them in. Alara had allowed them to stay in Rymor after they'd crash-landed. She knew the General had a hand in it, but this planet had opened its arms to her and her crew. Now it was bathed in blood. A victim to Zen-Terra's terrors. Breck hefted Lon farther onto her shoulder. Her muffled voice came from inside the mask.
"We don't have a choice. If we go back down there, we'll all die too, Andy."
She angled her head toward Valen.
"He is our mission."
Andy turned away. She would make this choice now and allow herself to consider the consequences later. More faces, more dead for her to call to a dance. They continued until the sand beneath their stolen boots turned to metal, until they were marching up the ramp of the chosen ship, Dex whispering,
"Go, go, go!"
Gilly ran inside, swinging her rifle left and right, searching for any remaining soldiers on board.
"Clear,"
she mouthed. It was strangely hollow inside, enough space to pack 100 soldiers into the empty cargo bay. Overhead, a single catwalk spread left and right. Darkness waited beyond. Breck set Lon down on the cold metal floor. Lyra nestled beside him, shifting his head gently to rest on her lap. Valen knelt before them, speaking in hushed tones to Lyra. His own hands shook, but it seemed he was in better control of himself, for now. "Go with Gilly," Andy silently commanded Breck. The giantess nodded and slipped past Andy to follow Gilly and Dex farther into the ship. She watched them climb the ladder to the catwalk, no words shared between them as they split up. Breck and Gilly to the left, Dex to the right. Andy waited, catching her breath and praying to the god stars that the ship was clear. Only a few seconds passed before a gunshot exploded above. The crew. Leaving the loading door open, Andy turned and sprinted into the heart of the ship. Chapter 62 Dex. Blood pooled in Dex's vision. He toppled and fell backward to the floor, his head ringing. Of all the people to find waiting on the bridge, it had to be a soldier with New Vaden blood, didn't it? And one easily double the size of Breck. After he'd entered and found the giant waiting to spring, Dex had only had time to fire off a single shot, useless against the bulletproof man. He'd probably been one of the many visitors stuck on Zantara during his childhood, eyes opened to the neglect of the unified systems. Now he was fighting for Queen Noor.
"Tiny little Tenebran fool!" The pilot's voice boomed as he stalked forward. He ripped Dex's gun from his grasp as easily as taking a toy from a child. Then he bent it in half over his massive thigh. The metal squealed as a similar sound slipped from Dex's throat.
"Easy there, big guy," Dex said, lifting his hands before him.
He tried to stand, but his vision was spotty. His two hands spread before him suddenly looked like seven.
"We can talk."
The giant laughed menacingly, advancing toward him. Then the door to the bridge hissed as it slid open, and Breck and Gilly were standing in the entryway, their eyes wide.
"Oh, for the love of the stars," Breck said. Gilly fired off 10 rounds. Each one of them slammed against the man's chest, then dropped to the metal floor.
"Ping, ping, ping."
The giant looked up at Gilly. A low grumble rolled from his chest as he took a lurching step forward and swung.
"No!" Breck shouted.
She leaped in front of Gilly. A sickening crack sounded as the man's fist connected with the side of Breck's face. She landed beside Dex in a heap, limbs splayed across the floor. Gilly screamed just as Andy rushed onto the bridge, her eyes wide, her swords already out and crackling. Her face, bathed in the electric light, was the last thing Dex saw before darkness pulled him away.
Chapter 63 Androma. The giant swung. Andy ducked, and his fist whizzed past her head, punching into the metal wall instead. It dented outward with a screeching whine. "Come on, you bastard," Andy growled. She moved backward, easing out of the bridge, her too large Zantaran suit hampering her movements slightly. The giant followed. Andy could see Breck's splayed form behind him, Gilly kneeling over her and Dex on the floor.
"You think you can steal my ship?"
the giant growled as he stalked toward Andy. She shrugged as she stopped in the center of the catwalk. "I've done it before," the giant loosed a cackle.
"Not today, little girl."
Then he was at her again, bounding forward in two heavy strides that shook the metal beneath her feet. Andy whirled her swords, then thrust forward with one jab, two jabs, three. The blades crackled and sang with each thrust. But each time, the swords rebounded off the giant's wrists as he blocked her, his bulletproof skin proving strong enough to ward off even a scratch. Damned New Vadens. Andy's mind seethed as she dropped to her knee, allowing another swinging fist to soar past her before rising again. He was strong, but he was slow. And if she could just figure out how to disable him, perhaps make him lose his balance and topple over? The giant gripped the catwalk railing and tore a piece away, the metal screaming in protest.
"I like sword fights," he growled.
Then he swung. Andy lifted her swords in an X. Sparks flew as her blades met his makeshift weapon. She managed to shove him back, barely giving herself enough space to adjust her swords, take a half step back, and swing again. The giant blocked her and advanced. On and on they swung. Andy's body took over on autopilot. Left sword, right sword, block, thrust, drop to a knee, avoid a hit, rise back up, advance.
All the while, the giant's bulletproof skin warded off her attacks. Andy's arms began to tremble as the giant pressed her backward, closer and closer to the end of the catwalk.
"Let us take the damned ship!" she yelled over the clash of metal. "My soldiers will come back soon," the giant growled. "Then you will die."
He thrust the piece of railing at her. It sang as it cracked against the wall just behind Andy's head. She was running out of steam, running out of options. Guns didn't work. Her best fighters were unconscious or helpless or, in the case of Lon, actually dying in the cargo bay below. A hit made contact. Andy screamed as one of her swords fell from her hand. It tumbled over the railing, where it landed beside Valin, the electricity fizzling out.
"Run, Andy!" Valin cried.
She hefted her remaining sword with both hands and swung. The giant lifted his palms and gripped the blade. The electric currents made his body seize and shake, but he remained standing. Slowly, eyes boring into Andy's, he pulled the sword from her grip. He tossed it over the railing to join its mate.
"Run!"
Valin screamed again. Andy's breath hitched in her throat. She'd never lost a fight. Not like this, not like...
Boom!
Andy looked up just in time to see an explosion of red light barreling toward her from the still-open entry door. It rocketed through the air, a red swarm of death. Blood sprayed against her face as the new Vaden warrior erupted into vapor. She blinked, hot blood dripping down her cheeks as she tried to figure out what had just happened. Where the giant once stood, only his torn bit of metal railing remained. Andy gasped and dropped to her knees. Gilly appeared from the bridge, her mouth hanging open.
"What in the actual hell just happened?"
Andy pointed over the catwalk railing. Down below, a whine of gears sounded as the entry door shut. Standing before the door, with a giant, still-smoking launcher resting on his shoulder, was Alfie. He set down a wriggling sack. With a loud yowl, a fuzzy-horned creature emerged.
"Havoc!"
Gilly shrieked happily. Andy stood motionless, staring down at the AI.
"Hello, Androma Rosella," Alfie said. "It seems we found you right on time. How can I further assist you in this mission?"
"Program this ship to get us the hell out of here." Moments later, the ship's engines blazed as it shot through the planet's atmosphere en route to Arcadius.
Chapter 64 Lyra. There wasn't enough gris in the galaxy to drown out Lyra Medi's thoughts. She sat alone in the storage room of the stolen Zen-Terran warship, slumped against a wooden crate she'd burned her way through with her scaled palms. Smoke still lingered in the small space, wafting among the stacked bags of food stores, the flagons of water, the metal shelf across from her that held extra Zen-Terran soldiers' masks.
"Damn it,"
Lyra cursed. She looked at the bottle of amber liquid that sat beside her on the metal floor, the final few drops calling her name. Ever since the ship had lifted off the ground, every horrific moment of the past few hours had begun to melt together until it formed one massive monster full of memories. Now the monster whispered her name, begging Lyra to lose herself in its siren song. She wouldn't give in. Instead, Lyra scooped up the bottle of gris and tipped it onto her tongue, quickly swallowing every last blessed drop. With each sip she took, she remembered a little less. But still, despite the pile of four empty bottles to which she added the newly emptied one, it didn't drown out the sounds, the feelings, the pain. She would never forget the screams that followed the first bullet, the first death. The squelch of hot blood hitting the sand as the Zen-Terrans came out of nowhere and attacked. She would never be able to erase the image of her brother's body dropping beside her, how it felt to flee for their lives through the smoke, chests heaving, hearts racing, Lon's blood on her hands, wet tears on her face, scales blazing like purple torches in the midst of the firefight as they ran through the desert, desperate for escape. Lyra groaned, her head spinning and throbbing, as she grabbed another bottle of gris and tried to uncork it with her bare hands.
but looking at her hands brought back the memory of Lon lying in the sand, and Lyra pressing her palms against his chest, trying in vain to stop the bleeding. She gasped and threw the bottle. It exploded against the far side of the room, glass raining down like little shards of broken stars. Now, that was a waste. Lyra turned, feeling like her head might wobble off her neck. Andy stood in the doorway of the small storage room, her arms crossed over her chest, her lips pulled back in a small smirk. "I asked to be alone," Lyra said. The words came out jumbled, as if her tongue, too, were drunk on gris. "That's the problem with your being my second," Andy answered with a sigh, as she entered the storage room and joined Lyra on the floor, legs crisscrossed beneath her. "I'm the captain, and I've denied your request." Lyra glared at her. "Lyra, you've been sitting in here for hours," Andy said. She reached out to place a hand on Lyra's arm, but Lyra shoved her away. "Lon is stable, thanks to Alfie, but if you don't go and check on him soon, he might wake up and find Gilly at his side. Or worse, Havoc." Her voice sounded completely matter-of-fact, as if they were just carrying out a normal mission. "What the hell is your problem?" Lyra asked suddenly. Andy looked like she'd been slapped. "My problem?" Lyra reached behind her and grabbed another bottle of gris. This time, she ripped the cork out with her teeth. A satisfying pop sounded as the liquid inside bubbled up and spilled onto Lyra's lap. She drowned half the bottle in one sip. When she looked up, Andy was still staring at her. "You're just waltzing around," Lyra said accusingly, waving a hand, "as if nothing happened." She took another sip, glaring at Andy over the bottle. "But it happened, Captain." "It was an act of terror," Andy said, spreading her arms out to either side. "Zenterra couldn't have been stopped. Not when we weren't prepared. What happened was..."
"Your fault!"
Lyra barked out. The Zen-Terran armor she wore grew hot against her skin as her scales flared to life.
"You got us into this mess, accepting that Star's forsaken mission from General Cortes. And now the Marauder is gone. My brother's chest is blasted open. Alara is God's nowhere, and my planet is bathed in blood."
"Lyra," Andy tried again, but Lyra was done listening.
"Enough!"
she shouted. Lyra could feel her anger writhing now, like a living, breathing thing ready to burn, to hurt, to destroy. "This entire mission has been a fool's journey. I should have taken Alara's offer when she gave me the chance." The words fell from her lips like a welcome poison. When she glanced up, Andy's face was stone. "What offer?" she whispered. Lyra lifted the gris bottle, disappointed to find it empty. She let it tumble from her grip, and it rolled away across the metal floor. She was just reaching for another, when suddenly Andy's fingers were around her wrist, gripping it tight.
"Lyra,"
Andy rasped. Her eyes were like the surface of a smoldering moon.
"What offer?"
Lyra tried to shove her away, but Andy's grip held. She met her captain's eyes, blurry as her vision was. "My aunt asked me to leave the crew," Lyra said, letting each word wound like a knife. "She said she'd give me my own ship, a state-of-the-art one that could never be disabled." Lyra loved the Marauder, knew she was wounding herself, too, by speaking ill of it, but she didn't care.
"I should have stayed on Adhira," she said.
All menace had left her voice. Now the hot, choking feeling of tears replaced it. She could feel them spilling across her cheeks.
"Oh, God, Stars, Andy," Lyra moaned. "I did this. All those people, dead, because I piloted a Zen-Terran prisoner onto their peaceful planet. If I hadn't flown Valen there, they wouldn't have come."
Andy was silent, her face pained as she let go of Lyra's wrist. A burn mark, red and angry, marred her palm. "Lyra," she whispered, but Lyra shook her head, then dropped it to lean against her knees.
"I have never wanted to kill," she said,
tears still falling. She didn't try to stop them as a realization swam through her.
But I'm afraid I've just brought about the murder of thousands of innocent people on Adhira.
No, Andy said. Lyra, you can't think that. Lyra kept her eyes closed, blocking out the room as it spun in time with her head. She wanted her brother to wake up, to be safe and sound and back on Adhira where he belonged. She wanted to scream and race up the stairs of Rymor and hide herself in the mountain temple, away from prying eyes, where she could cast her feelings out to the sky and forget about pain and fear and unanswered questions. Most of all, she wanted to drink another damned bottle of Gris.
We did this job together, Andy said. All of us.
Lyra looked up, surprised to hear Andy's voice crack. That didn't fit with the Andy she knew, the hardened captain who pretended she didn't give a damn about the world, who acted as if she would gladly burn it all to ashes in an instant if she could. But here, in this storage room, with empty bottles of Gris scattered between them, Lyra saw the true Androma Rosella. It cleared her mind for a moment, allowed her to watch and listen and understand, a distraction from the monster still lurking in her mind.
We brought Valin to Adhira, Andy said. We made the choice to go to Revalia and have him out there in the open, without even considering the consequences.
She took a deep breath. Those are choices we made as a crew, and I, as a captain, oversaw them. They are my mistakes, not yours.
But the attack, Lyra began.
The attack was horrific, and I will never forgive myself for leaving that planet and all those people behind, Andy said. And for what? The freedom that the General promised if we deliver Valin back to him? She barked out a single laugh. I just chose to save my own skin and my own future by running away. Running, Lyra. It's what I always do.
It's what I do, too, Lyra said.
Silence hung between them. Lyra lifted an arm, making sure her scales had cooled before she gently reached out and draped it across Andy's shoulders, pulling her close. Their heads touched as Lyra leaned against Andy.
Maybe we could stop, Lyra whispered.
Andy sighed. It isn't possible, Lyra.
But what if it could be? What if, after all of this, after Valin is home, we go back to Adhira? We help them recover. We fly my aunt's starship. We find the bastards who came from Zenterra, and we escort them to the doors of hell.
She could feel Andy's deep sigh against her as she considered this. You're talking about war, Lyra, Andy said.
No.
Lyra closed her eyes and saw all the smoke, the pain and the destruction. And one day, it had changed her, twisted her insides until she no longer sought peace. Rather, she desired something far different.
I'm talking about revenge.
Revenge? Andy said. Not something I thought I'd ever hear Lyrana Medi speak of.
They killed innocent people. They burned my planet. They shot my brother. I have no idea where my aunt is, or if she's even still alive.
Lyra sniffed back a remaining tear, thinking of Lon down below in the cargo bay, still unconscious as Dex piloted the ship toward Arcadius. They would arrive tomorrow. Lyra didn't know if they even had enough time left to save him.
Alfie says that Lon may not wake up, and if he does, we don't know what the extent of the damage may be.
He's strong, Andy said. Just like you.
I'm not strong, Lyra said. If I was, I wouldn't have fallen apart when they attacked. I would have picked up a weapon and fought back.
You would have died. We all would have.
And now?
Lyra asked.
How do we live with the guilt?
The pain, she wanted to say, that is clawing at my insides, refusing to go away. I know a thing or two about guilt, Andy said, reaching past Lyra to where a single bottle of Gris remained. She uncorked it with ease and took a sip, then angled it toward Lyra. You're not going to make me drink alone, are you? Lyra sighed and took the bottle. They shared it, the captain and the pilot, in the darkness of the stolen Zen-Terran warship. All the while, Lyra hoped and prayed and begged the God Stars that her aunt was safe back on Adhira, and that her twin brother, asleep on the deck below, would somehow survive.
Chapter 65 Androma.
In the years since she'd escaped Arcadius, Andy had never returned to the Phylexos system. Not once. She'd feared that if she did, she would finally get caught and face the sentence she'd been running from all this time. The bottle of grist she'd shared with Lyra last night had helped her forget about that fear, for a short while at least. But then sleep had stolen her away, and with it the nightmares came lurking. This time they had been of Valin. "You killed her," he'd whispered into her ear as he hovered over her with a blade poised above her heart. "Now you will suffer her fate." His eyes bored down into hers, and as she screamed and begged him to release her, blood poured from his lips. Even now, as Andy sat on the bridge beside Dex, she couldn't shake the feeling of cold dread that swept over her at the thought of the dream. That, and the pressing nausea that came along with a wicked hangover, not only from the gris, but from the jurum she'd so foolishly guzzled at Revalia. After everything that had happened on Adhira, she was grateful they'd found a way out. As soon as Alfie had dispatched the new Vaden Guard, they'd fired up the engines and gotten the hell out of the desert, blasting through the atmosphere, then immediately soaring into hyperspace. The escape had been a quick one, the other Zen-Terran ships unable to track them, thanks to Alfie scrambling the tracking systems on board. After Andy's initial shock over his unexpected role as rescuer had passed, she'd questioned the AI until she'd nearly run out of breath. "My mission is to ensure Mr. Valin Cortaz returns home," Alfie had said as Dex piloted them out of Adhira, wide awake from an adrenaline pill they'd been fortunate to find in a medkit on board. "When the Rymor guards heard of the attack in the desert, I had no choice but to embark on a journey to find you."
"But how did you find us?" Gilly had asked.
Alfie's shrug had been almost sentient.
"Felibrags have a heightened sense of smell, so I used Havoc to determine your precise location. I also determined that Gilly would be most displeased if I forgot him."
Gilly had squeaked happily and snuggled the orange creature.
"What a good little Felibrag you are."
"And Alara?" Andy had asked. "Do you know what happened to her?" The AI's white face had tilted sideways.
"Alara is not my mission, Androma Rosella. Therefore, I am unaware of her current whereabouts."
Alfie had then gotten straight to work on Lon's injury, stabilizing him with the medkit. The wound from the rifle shot was deep, the bullet thick and ugly, as if it were made from salvaged scrap steel. If infection hadn't set in yet, it likely would soon.
"He will need immediate care upon our arrival on Arcadius," Alfie had said, his gears whirring as he stood and pressed the medkit into Andy's hands.
Dex had been right about the stolen ship. It shot through the galaxy, rocketing toward Arcadius. Despite that, time had seemed to slow, as if every second was counting against them. Knowing the journey would be a long one, Andy had joined Lyra in the storage room. Now, finally, as flashes of starlight streaked past the viewport, Dex pulled back on the hyperdrive and the ship was flung out of hyperspace just at the edge of the Phylexos system.
"Home sweet home," Dex said, glancing sideways at Andy.
Green blood had dried on his forehead, and a nasty bruise had spread across the entirety of his left cheek. His usual grin was missing.
"What's the matter, Baroness?" he asked.
Andy was too tired and too ill to deal with him right now. They hadn't talked about the almost kiss they'd shared during Revalia. Andy wanted to pass it off as a side effect of Jurum, and yet, as she looked at him, heat flooded to her cheeks. She turned away, pressing her fingertips to her temples. The murmur of a faraway voice on the comm sounded behind her, where Alfie was busy communicating with the Transportation Command Center on Arcadius, warning them that they were in a stolen Zen-Terran ship.
"Sir, I am on direct orders from General Cortaz," Alfie's calm voice said. "I am detecting tonal suggestions of annoyance. Shall I inform the General that my mission cannot be completed because of your interference?"
More murmurs, then Alfie glanced at Dex and said, I have secured clearance to approach Arcadius. He also offered to polish my metal platings free of charge, should I ever need it. You know something, AI? Dex asked, smiling through his split lip. You're beginning to grow on me. I cannot grow, Alfie said. It is not within my capability to do so. Andy let the sound of their voices fade as she stared out the viewport. They passed the swirling colors of the gas giant, Pegasi, and weaved around New Veda before flying between the two moons of Arcadius. On the other side of the moons, Andy could just make out the lush blue and green hues of her homeworld. A line of sleek explorer ships waited for them, their escort down to the planet's surface. She tapped her foot anxiously as they approached their destination. Coming from a mission in a system that was supposed to be her enemy, she couldn't help but question if she was about to enter another territory more dangerous than Olen. They had escaped from the atrocities on Adhira, but who knew what horrors might still lie ahead? Andy felt selfish thinking these thoughts when she'd just come from a peaceful planet that was now immersed in a bloody battle. She felt even more selfish for wishing the news would distract General Cortaz from any attempt to alter the deal he'd made with them. She just wanted to drop Valen off and be on her way back to Adhira to get her ship. If there was still a ship to retrieve. Dex angled them toward Arcadius, and Andy allowed herself a moment to stare out at the inky black beyond. Before this hellish journey began, she'd thought the stars were mocking her. But now, for the first time in a long while, she felt as if she'd surprised the stars. As if, despite what had happened worlds away, they shone a little brighter, encouraging her to be strong in the face of the unknown. It was that thought that slightly eased the tension in her shoulders and loosened the tightness in her chest. Well, this is an inviting welcome, Dex said sarcastically as the explorers surrounded them, two on each side and one in the back. They then proceeded to herd them down to the planet. Andy never thought this day would come, had fully believed that the last time she would see Arcadius was through the rear cam of the ship she'd been on. But there it was before her now, a ball of swirling blues, purples, pinks, and greens, not a single scar of white clouds obscuring the colors. The purple salt lakes glimmered like gemstones from afar, dwarfed by bright blue oceans that surrounded the lush green land. There was the massive half-moon-shaped island on the southern tip of the main continent, where she vacationed with her mother and father as a child. The sea from afar looked just as blue as it had when she'd splashed her feet in the cool water, running up and down the diamond-littered shores in search of the largest, shiniest one. Above it, the main continent of Eiri showed itself off in shades of deepest emerald, scattered with shadows from the mountains and the floating grava rocks hanging in the air as if held by strings. The largest of them, a rugged snow-capped mountain, held countless memories for Andy. She had flown below it with her father on a day trip years ago. Andy could remember how she'd pressed her face to the glass of the tour ship, her breath fogging up the view, and dreamed of one day soaring her own ship to that very mountain. A soldier on leave, exploring the most hard-to-reach places of Arcadius and the worlds beyond. Now she was the captain of a starship she was too scared to fly. She was doing more than she'd ever dreamed of doing, but not quite in the way she'd planned. A voice suddenly buzzed into the overhead comm, drawing Andy's attention from the planet back to the dash. "This is Patrol 73 paging the Marauders. Do you copy?" She tapped the rear cam and saw the telltale form of an explorer patrol ship looming not far behind. "Marauders to Patrol 73. Do we have clearance to enter?" Static crackled on the line. For a moment, her gut screamed at her to beg Dex to turn the ship around, soar back out into the skies, and hide herself and her crew in the shadows of the nearest moon. Before she could do anything rash, the voice on the comm spoke. "Patrol 73 to the Marauders. Initiate hover mode." Dex pressed a button next to the throttle. "Hover control activated," he responded. Soon the prox alarm went off, signaling that the patrol ships had latched onto theirs. They escorted the Marauders to the planet's surface, looking like monsters dropping from the night sky. "Welcome home, Androma," Andy whispered to herself.
Chapter 66 Dex fancied himself a rugged man,
plenty capable of surviving the harsher conditions that some planets in Mirabel had to offer. He'd survived a bone-shattering winter on Solera, sweated through half of his hard-earned wardrobe on the desert moon Caniv, and spent countless hours forcing himself to stay awake in the midst of pointless meetings during his day's training to become a guardian. But as much as he disliked the pompous, wealthy citizens of the military planet Arcardius, he relished the beauty of it as a whole. It was a shiny, glittering type of place, and, rugged bounty hunter or not, Dex was not ashamed to be a fan of things that sparkled. As the patrol ships escorted them through the atmosphere and into the Arcardian skies, Dex could practically taste the fine, bubbling liquor he'd drink, endless amounts of it due to the planet load of Krebs the General was about to deliver in his account, plus the badge of honor that would be reattached to his chest. No longer would he bow in shame when he passed other guardians. He'd be one of them again after all this time. He blew out a breath of air, focusing on the view as they dropped closer to the ground. There were plenty of other, smaller ships in the sky, all of which parted before them as their escorts cleared the way. The main continent of Arcardius came into view, a glorious green scattered with waterside cities. There was Dex's sparkle, spiraling towers of glass that soared high into the sky, razor-sharp and yet soft all at once, rendered by a master architect's hand. Their reflections seemed to dance on the water's surface, doubling the beauty of it all. The Arcardian flag, blue with a silver bursting star icon in the center, was on display everywhere. The largest one covered the entire edge of a domed building, the renowned military academy Andy had attended before becoming a Spectre. In between the buildings were personal transport ships of the finest kind, racers and thrusters and Dex's personal favorite, Skyblades, black single-passenger carbon ships that were as light as a feather, capable of soaring faster than anything else on Arcardius. From the number of transports in the city, it was clear that the crowds had begun to arrive for the summit. Citizens traveled from all across Mirabel to meet each year and witness the system leaders renew their bonds of friendship and lasting peace. No wonder General Cortas had been so insistent on their returning Valen on schedule. He no doubt wanted to publicly announce his son's rescue and Mirabel's triumph over Zenterra once more. After the attack on Adhira, however, Dex didn't feel as if they'd truly achieved any kind of victory in bringing Valen home. Across the city, set apart from the splendor, a cluster of natural gravirocks hovered in the sky, large, floating bits of land, some mountainous, others not, where the wealthiest of Arcardius chose to take up residence. Dex could pinpoint the generals with a single glance. It was easily the largest of them all, save for the great floating mountain they'd passed on their way in. On its top, visible even from here, was the Cortas estate, Averia. It was made up of several sprawling white buildings, so pristine and bright that just looking at the complex hurt Dex's eyes. He glanced sideways at Andy and noticed the way her hands were curled tightly on her armrests. Almost as if she were flying into battle rather than soaring toward the biggest payout of her life, toward the place she'd once called home, which could soon be hers again if she wished it. "It's just a building, Baroness," Dex said, his voice light, but he knew what the Arcardians had done to her. He knew how broken she had been when he'd found her in that market so long ago. A strange feeling came over him in that moment as he watched her looking upon her old home. He wanted to reach out and touch her hand. He wanted to kiss her, not in the way he almost had on Adhira, something gentler, sweeter, the kind of kiss Dex knew he didn't deserve to give her. When this job was done, the best gift Dex could offer Andy was leaving. She'd never have to see him again after this. It was almost too much, looking at her now and knowing it wasn't him she needed anymore. Perhaps she never truly had. His voice hushed, Dex sent a comm to Andy's crew to join them on the bridge. When they arrived, he stood silently from his chair and headed for the door. He stopped before he stepped into the hall and cast a quick glance over his shoulder. The crew had formed a half-circle behind Andy, the giantess with all her strength, the small gunner with the yowling horned furball in her arms. And then there was the pilot, her expression sickly, whose gentle support was